Luke chapter 18. Okay. Luke 18, 1 to 5. It says, Jesus is talking, and he says he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Pray, but not to lose heart. Don't give up on praying. And it says, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God, and did not respect man. I have the New American Standard, so that's why I may have a few things. So, verse 2, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. I mean, you think about that. Here's a widow. In this day and time, when you're a widow, you have nobody. You know, you have no man to help you, no man to protect you. They don't have social services the way we have them today. You know, you're talking at a time where she literally had nobody to help her. You know, she was at obvious distress. She was undoubtedly in some type of trouble that she needed deliverance from an opponent, someone that is opposing her. So she's in distress. She's in trouble. She needs legal protection. And she kept going to that judge like a dog to a bone. You know, you can't take that bone away from a dog. She was on him continually, so much so that he couldn't take it anymore, and he just gave her the legal protection that she needed. Well, that's what Jesus says that we have to be like. We have to be just like that in our prayer life to persist until we get answers. And you know what? That doesn't mean that you stop praying just because you haven't seen a prayer answered in years. There's no time limit on this. We don't know how often she went. But, you know, the thing of it is that we pray prayers. I've been praying a prayer that I haven't seen in over 50 years. When I first got to Word, I have this one prayer, and I've never seen it come to pass. But I've never stopped in all these years of praying this prayer. And that's how we have to be, because we may not get our prayers in this life answered right away, but we will in the next when we are with our Lord. You see, you just don't give up. You know, you don't let yourself get weary and say, well, he's just not going to answer my prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, don't give up. You have to endure the weariness. And you cannot give, you know, with all that is around us, whether it be the evil we see, whether we have injustice, you know, this lady obviously had some injustice, unfairness. I've always told our kids that life is not fair, so get over it, you know, and our own problems that we ourselves have, you know, life is unfair. We have problems, but we can't allow ourselves to get complacent and then grow weary and give up in our prayer life. You know, that's, God gave us a reason why we pray. He wants us to pray to him. He wants us to continually go to him. He wants us, and that's what God did. And that's why we can't give up. You know, in Galatians, go to Galatians chapter 6. And in verse 9, I'd like you to go there. Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we don't grow weary. Galatians 6, verse 9. Mm-hmm. I'm a little ahead of you guys because I could just read it, but I see you turning. Galatians 6, verse 9. Don't lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we don't get weary. And, you know, don't get tired of being the one that's continually loving. Don't get tired of doing the things of God. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. You know, I've seen people do that. They get tired because they're not seeing any results. Oh, I'm always doing the right thing and this one gets away with it. You know, I'm always doing the right thing. I don't steal and this one steals and he's getting this. Don't get tired of doing the right thing, even if everyone around you is doing the wrong thing. Just don't get tired and lose heart. Because you will reap in due time. We will have our promise of eternal life in due time. You know, we have to continue to keep doing the best we can. We have to walk in the light of God's word, because in due time, the Lord is coming back. Do you really believe that promise? He is coming back. So if you give up, it's not going to be good for you. You know, we have salvation waiting for us. Just don't give up. Mm-hmm. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 16. This is really an important aspect of being able to endure and being able to persevere. Doing those both things. This is a very big aspect, I think, a very important thing to keep in mind with this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. And this is Paul telling Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those that hear you. Mm. You've got to pay close attention to what you're looking at. You've got to pay close attention to what you're feeding yourself, the teachings that you're feeding yourself. You have got to, if you pay close attention to yourself, and then you could lead others with you. They hear you. And if you persevere in that, how many people's lives can you change? How many things that could happen in your life? You know, and it's easy, and it's easy to listen to wrong teaching. It could be slight. You know, you go to Galatians, right? Galatians chapter 1 is a great example. Galatians chapter 1. It says, here's Paul the apostle, and he was an apostle not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And to all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Now, you got to remember, Paul was there, 20 years in Galatia, right? He was there a long time in this church at one point. He said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Look at that. He was amazed at how quickly they were deserting the right gospel. They perverted the gospel. And it says, verse 8, and even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he's to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were to still trying to please men, I would not be the bondservant of Christ. You know, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. And he goes on. You know, they weren't taking care of what they were listening to. You know, it's sometimes people could tell us things, and you have many of these preachers on TV, and they have huge congregations, and they seem logical, but is it the truth of God's word? That's the difference. Are you trying to please men to bring them in to fill your church? Are you trying to do it for any other motive? But, you know, when people talk about, you know, it sounds good, you know, that does sound logical, you got to back it up with the word of God. Is it the right thing? You got to pay attention to what you're listening to. You know, if you don't pay attention to what you're listening to, it's like Paul, he was amazed at how quickly they left the gospel. It was perverted along the way. They started listening to other things. And it's not hard to do. It's not. It's not hard to do. That's why you have to pay, it says, pay close attention to what you're hearing. You know, and go to 2 John, the book of 2 John. Thinking about this yesterday. In 2 John, you know, around this time, they had many of the itinerant teachers that went around the area, you know, at this time. They had many teachers come, many teachers that would stop in the synagogue, they would stop at the church, you know, at the fellowship, and they had a continual... it was very popular at this point of time when these teachers just kept going around. And Paul's writing to the elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who know the truth. And in verse 5, it says, "Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is that love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. And for many deceivers, verse 7, have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and those antichrist, those that are against Christ. Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what you have accomplished, but that you may receive your full reward." Don't lose what you already know. Don't get deceived into a different type of a gospel. That's what happens. People get deceived. They think that that may sound good, but it's not the right gospel. The commandments, right, is that we walk and we walk according to his commandments. Not according to what makes us feel good, or not according to what someone else, they want to feel better, you know. So you've got to pay close attention to this. And that's what Paul was telling her. Pay, watch yourselves so that you don't receive, that you don't lose your full reward. And what is our full reward? Eternal life. That's our full reward. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I make known, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain." You have got to stand on the gospel that was the right teaching that was preached to you, unless it's all in vain. Unless, what are you doing? You know, you have got to hold fast to this gospel. It says if. It's not a one and done. It's not a one time and then I walked for maybe a year and then I just lose it. You have got to hold fast to it. It is evident, if you read any of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, my gosh, you know, it. The Book of Amos is, you know, such a warning book. Either you do it or you're out type of thing. You know, we have got to not be deceived and hold fast to the gospel that we've been heard, that we have known. You know, that's why I tell people, I'm not giving you my opinion. I told Jackie the other day, Jackie, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you what the Bible says. And this is what it says about the dead being alive. Mm-hmm. See, that's the gospel. That's the way I could have said, oh, you know, whatever. You know, I don't want to offend her. I don't want to lose her. But when she asked me a direct question, I'm not going to lie to her. You've got to hold fast to what you've been told. And then we get to help other people with this. That's an amazing thing. You know, we get to talk to other people. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verse 12. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. It's at the end of the Bible, towards the end. Going the wrong way. You got to go in the back. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. And then Philemon, yes. So, yeah. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For if we become partakers of Christ, if we held fast the beginning of our assurance till the end, to the end of our life. That's what that's talking about. Encourage one another. Obviously, it's not that, it's we get challenged. That's why we have to encourage one another. That's why it's so important to stay connected mm-hmm. to one another, because we get challenged to isolate. We get challenged just to be all by yourself and I don't need anybody else. Do you know the biggest thing, one of the biggest things, the pandemic that we just been through hurt the most was it isolated people from one another. And it prevented people from getting together and to encourage one another. You know how many people haven't even come back after that? Mm-hmm. You know, they got so full of fear, you couldn't be touched. Just the other day, I was driving down Hempstead Turnpike, and I saw a person alone in a car, windows rolled, with a mask on. I mean, come on. In your own car, the windows rolled up, and you're wearing a mask. I mean, you know, you can't live in that type of fear. You really can't. And we need each other. Because while today is today, we need each other. We have to encourage one another. Because sin is knocking on our door. Just like it was with Cain, God warned him, sin is knocking on your door. It's always there. And we need to help each other. We need to encourage each other. There's a verse I used to use on the Sunday service. I actually changed it when I send out those letters. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves mm-hmm. together, right? People do that. We're told not to forsake it, but people do. And that's exactly the result of the pandemic. We forsake getting together. It's so much, you know, it's so sad, I think. Really sad. And we just got to keep encouraging one another. So, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Right after Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 5. and in verse 6. Okay, you guys there?
Yep.
Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time or the due time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of a sober spirit. Be not wavering. Be sober, right? Mm-hmm. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an adversary that is seeking to destroy us. How he does that is he pulls us away from God. He pulls us away from the living God and away from each other. And you got to realize, we all go through the same thing. We may think we don't, but we do. There are people all over the world that are suffering the same way that we do. You know, it's not just us. It says we all go through the same things in life. We all have joy. We all have happiness. And we also have hard times and times of trial and times that we deal with tragedy. We deal with death, despair, and fear. All of us experience those things. It's not new to just you. And plus, on top of that, we have an adversary that hates God and that wants to get us away from our loving Father. And we have a word of God. We have this word of God to show us what sin is, to show us the right way, to give us the right gospel, so that we don't get taken away from our Father. And, you know, he wants us to have the end, which is eternal life. God has been fighting for us since the day we've been born. God has been fighting for us since Genesis 3:15. He has been fighting for us so that we're not taken away. He gave his son. What more can he do? How often he tells us in manifestations that he loves us, that he's there for us, that he's with us, and we still deal with fear that we're alone. Or I won't be able to do these things. Or, you know, tragedy. Believe me, things that can take us out. But we have to hold fast. We have to endure. Endure all these things. And persist until we get to the end of our life. If the Lord doesn't come back, but my last breath, we have to persist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to James chapter 1, right after Hebrews, so right before Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews, James chapter 1, and verse 2. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life.
Mm-hmm.
And which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, we have to, our faith and all that we go through in life, it produces endurance. You know, I want to tell you, I don't know how many people I've told this. This actually happened to me. Years ago, you all know that Chrissy, when she was 12 years old, she got deathly ill. Really bad. She almost died on us. And she literally was hours from death. And when she went into the ICU after an 8-hour operation, we still didn't know if she was going to make it. And I walked into the ICU, and I just prayed. John and I, we just said, Father, please take care of her. And, you know, I kind of knew, we knew that it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. We didn't feel God away from us. We knew that God was taking care of our little girl. You know, years later, Michael gets hurt in 2014. And it was same thing, near fatal accident. The first time I walked into the ICU when he was in ICU, I didn't see Michael. I saw Chrissy laying there in my mind. And I knew that God got me through that with Christine. And I knew that Michael was going to make it. It was what I went through with Christine that God brought back to my heart. You went through this. You stayed. You know, we got you through. You got through this. You endured this. You're going to be okay. He's going to be okay. And I knew it. And it, as bad as the news and everything else, I could, you know, I it was the picture of Christine in that bed. Mm-hmm. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that Mike was going to be okay. He had a lot of heartache. He had to go through 4 years of hospitals, and he still goes through a bit of pain. But he's alive. He's doing things. And it's that endurance of trials in our lives. We all go through these things. We all have these type of trials. We all go through these type of things. But as we go through it, ask God, bring back to your mind, I went through this and I'm okay. And it's that endurance. It produces endurance in your life. And if you keep persevering through these things, persevere under those trials, enduring through those trials, what does it say? We're going to get the crown of life. I don't know what kind of crown that is. I don't know if it's a, I think it's figurative. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a physical crown. I don't know what that truly means. But it's good. That I do know. It's really good. And we, this is what happens in our lives as we get older. That's one of the great things. As we get older, we get more wisdom. Because we've gone through so many things in life. You guys have been married 60 years. Robert and Carmen Barrero, 60 years of marriage. You have endured and persevered under trial. And with many great things and many hard things. And you're still together and you love each other. Whether you're there. And that's what this verse is talking about. Isn't that phenomenal? So, you know, I want to share with you, this is, before we go there, go to Titus, Timothy Titus. Titus, chapter 1. It says verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. You know, God can't lie to us. There is nothing that he ever has lied about. We will have eternal life if we endure and persevere until that end. We will get eternal life. You don't have to turn there. But in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the end times in this. And in the same thing in Luke chapter 21. In Matthew 24:13, it says, Jesus is talking about all the signs about his coming. And he says, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. If you endure to that end, you're going to be saved. And the same records in Luke 21, verse 19, talking about the end times of his coming back. He says, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. Mm-hmm. By your endurance, you're going to gain your life. You persevere. You endure all these trials, this life that we live. You endure it. And you persevere, you, like a dog to a bone, you don't let it go. And you don't get deceived by any other gospel. I want to share with you, not a funny story, but it's a fable, which means it's not true, right? It's a fable. Mm-hmm. And I read this in Churchill's, Winston Churchill's diaries. Not diaries, but his memoirs.
Memoirs.
It says, I love Winston Churchill, so he's like one of my heroes. Okay? It says, I would like, it's not a true story, remember, but it's a great example of what happened and this encouraged people. So after the fall of France in World War II, a fable began to circulate about the fate of England. And the story was told that in July 1940, Hitler and Mussolini invited Churchill to Paris for a secret conference. They met at a tea table beside a famous carp pool. Carp is big fish, right? Very famous carp pool. Big. And it says, Hitler opened the dialogue saying, England is finished, Churchill. Sign this document admitting defeat and all Europe will have peace tomorrow. And Churchill said, I don't agree that we have lost the war. Hitler pounded the table and cried, ridiculous. Why not settle this with a wager, Churchill said. Hitler responded, what's the wager? And Churchill said, see these big carp in the pool? Let's wager the first one that can catch one without using customary fishing equipment will be the winner. So Hitler and Mussolini agreed. And Hitler pulled out his revolver and emptied it at the nearest fish. But the water deflected the bullets. And Mussolini jumped in the pool and tried to catch a fish with his bare hands, but he failed. And then Churchill took his spoon and began to dip his spoon and toss the water over his shoulder. And Hitler and Mussolini said, what are you doing? And on today, it would be like, what the hell, right? Like, what are you doing? And Churchill replied, it will take a long time, but we are going to win the war. He would empty the pool. It's a fable. Obviously, it's not true. But what a picture of enduring and persevering to win the war. And it says, you know, the same thing I thought about is our lives are on a journey just like this. Some of us live very long lives and some of us short. But our life is a journey. Our lives, however long that we have. In Hebrews, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and going the wrong way. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Mm-hmm. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you don't grow weary and lose heart, that you don't quit. Look at that. All these people, all the people that are named in chapter 11, right? They're the cloud of witnesses. So many are named and so many are not named. But they all persevered and endured through great trials, unbelievable hostility. They endured. And they persevered, the one thing they had in common, they all come from different times, different age, right? They were all different people, but they all, including our Lord, have one thing in common, and that is they endured and they persevered until the end. And God says in 11, it says the world's not even worthy of these people, of all that they went through. Some had great, unbelievable prayers answered, and some didn't. Some had terrible deaths, and some didn't. Some had really long, long lives. But they endured it with all the hostility around them. And we have to set aside those things in our lives that causes us to have, continue for us to have fear, doubt, and unbelief. That's what the devil constantly throws at us. The fear, the doubt, and unbelief. We get unsure of ourselves all of a sudden. You know, we think, oh my gosh, you know, I taught a while back on Psalm 77, and that man, the prophet that was going through all these troubles, right? And Lord, I'm so upset. You know, Lord, you have, well, help me. And then he remembered, you know, the Lord has gone forever. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord doesn't love me anymore. And then he realized what he was doing. He thought God had changed. Well, God doesn't change. It's our own fears that get to us. It's our own doubts that get to us. It's just a little thing. The wrong gospel when we're not paying attention. We get confused. We get off the course. And remember, we have an adversary. And we have to endure these things. We have to persevere. We have to be just like these cloud of witnesses. And not only that, think about this. We have people that we know in our lifetime that have fallen asleep and have fallen asleep knowing that they're going to see the Lord again. A friend of ours just died a few months ago, a believer upstate. I did children's fellowship with her. She was a wonderful lady. And she always brought her two granddaughters to family camp. And, you know, she got cancer and she died within, I think, 6 months. And, you know, I remember Mimi saying to me, you know, Mimi saw her just before she died. And Mimi said she was rejoicing because she knew the hope was there. She was sad that she, you know, the granddaughters would be upset. But she wasn't. She goes, I know where I'm going. It's almost like, she, you know, you died with your boots on, so to speak, you know. Death is not easy. We all go through these things in life, right? But we have these type of people as examples. That they have persevered through life. They have endured this life, whatever came at them. And they fell asleep and they're an example of the right way. And you know what? We have people today that are walking around us that are enduring and persevering as great witnesses. Look at these things. Look at these people. We have people all around us that are persevering and enduring on our great example. A great example of 60 years of marriage. Not many people made it that far. You know? It's easier to divorce than to, you know, one little a prenup. That's the killer. You sign a prenup, I could tell you right now, it's not going to make it, you know. You've already decided, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I won't make it. So, you know, we have people around us, a great example of marriage, great examples of persevering through trials, of doing these things. That's why we have to encourage one another. You know, I could look at someone and say, well, they're doing it. I can do it too. Isn't that kind of neat? In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, I'm sorry if I'm going too long. 2 Thessalonians, I got to get there. Chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Look at that. The church of Thessalonica, you had Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy praising this church to all the other churches for the perseverance and the faith in the midst of all persecutions and afflictions because they endured. I want to be that church. That people that, look at that. Imagine being that church that you're getting praised and all the other churches are having Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy talking about that. What a great church. Because they persevered and they endure. Let's be like that church. And I'm going to close. I want to, you know, talking about persevering. You know, we have the prophets that we look through. How many prophets were told? I think it was Isaiah or Jeremiah. You're going to keep speaking the word, but nobody's going to listen to you. What did he do? Not speak? He spoke. You talk about hostility, right? Enduring that, knowing ahead of time that what you're saying, nobody's going to hear you. Mm-hmm. But he kept doing it because now we have this book, Isaiah. You know, I have talked to people that, oh, nobody comes to fellowship. You know, I keep speaking, but nobody's hearing me. So they stop. I've been speaking the word for like 10 years and nobody's heard me. So they stop. Or I've had fellowship and nobody comes, so I'm tired of it, you know. I mean, come on. Persevere. Endure. There's no guarantee that you're going to flourish your fellowship. There's no guarantee that every person you speak to is going to hear the word. But you got to keep enduring and persevering through it. Because not only will you save yourself, you could save someone else. You never know. Mm-hmm. You just never know. And you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to consider this. Verse 35-39. It says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come. And will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are none of those that shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. We have to endure. We have to persevere. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. And they will walk and not get weary. You don't get weary. Physical weary, but mental weariness. That is worse than physical weariness. Physical weariness, you could just lay down. Mental weariness, you got to deal with that. In Psalm chapter 17, verse 5. Psalm 17, 5. It says, my steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. That is what I want for myself. I want to hold fast. I want my feet to hold fast to the direction where I'm going. No matter what comes my way, no matter what obstacles I face in life, no matter what tragedies we face. And remember, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. We're not alone. We're all in this together. And no matter what comes our way, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to get up one more time. Just get up one more time. I can do this one more time. And there's been times I've been on my knees and I pull myself up. I say, God, I can do this one more time. That's what we have to do. We have to endure and persevere one more time. Because if you do it one more time, you could do it another time. You could do it another time, and you could do it another time. And help each other. Help each other get there. So that's what I wanted to share. Great.